music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. This is the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, it's Kelly, and welcome to the show. This week, we continue celebrating the 25th anniversary of Janet Jackson's Janet album. Our guest is world-renowned and award-winning choreographer Tina Landon. Tina has fantastic memories to share of choreographing the Janet album for the music videos and world tour. You're going to hear behind-the-scenes stories that helped shape music history. Tina is phenomenal. She's worked with everyone, including Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Jennifer Lopez, Rihanna, Ricky Martin, and of course, Janet Jackson. Tina, welcome back to the Kelly Alexander Show.
What's happening? Glad to be back, as always.
Fantastic. So I love having you back on the show. And I guess I want to start by saying, what springs to your mind when I say that the Janet album is celebrating 25 years of existence this year? Does it seem real to you?
No, not at all. It's just very surreal. Like, because sometimes it just feels like it was yesterday, you know, and it's like, what, 25 years? That's bananas. And the fact that she still looks the same age, it's totally unfair to the rest of us. But yeah, no, it feels really unreal.
With Janet coming off the success of Rhythm Nation at the time, do you think that she felt extra pressure to bring, you know, to bring it, I guess, with that album, with the Janet album and with the tour? Like, was there this extra added, I don't know what, when you guys started the project?
You know what? I don't remember feeling necessarily a pressure as much as an excitement for the next thing, the next project. You know, it's like we did Rhythm Nation, and that was her first tour. It was my first tour. And, you know, there's a lot that you learn, and like you learn what works, what doesn't. If we had more time, what we would do differently, that like that kind of stuff. And just to clarify once again, I did not choreograph Rhythm Nation, but that was my first dance tour. So I can really only speak for me is in that going forward, it was more like the doors were open. You know, the fan base was ridiculous. It was just humongous. So I think more than looking at it as, oh, there's a pressure to live up to something, it was more like, okay, this is where we left off and this is where we want to go.
Can you tell us about the time frame when you sort of finished off the Rhythm Nation tour and then, you know, because a couple of years, I would say, I guess, elapsed between the two. But like, what were you doing in between then? And how did you, and were you constantly, I guess, in contact with Janet? And is that how things sort of then picked up for you to be involved with the Janet project?
Yeah. So after Rhythm Nation ended, you know, as most dancers, we think, oh my God, I'm never going to work again. And I think I probably went back and got my job at the mall because I just couldn't fathom not having income, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to fold t-shirts because that's what I know how to do, and I'm still going to work at the dance studio. But it throughout the, in between the time of the end of Rhythm Nation and the beginning of the Janet tour, Janet and I were in constant contact, and she already, her wheels were spinning about ideas that she wanted to do and, you know, songs that she wanted to write, and, you know, messages. Like, her wheels don't stop very long. I, of course, was looking for the next gig going, okay, what's next? Where do I need to work? I was teaching a lot. I was teaching in Japan. Sean Cheeseman actually hooked me up with that job. And I just kind of went back into dancer mode and what's the next thing? What do I have to, you know, got to stay sharp, got to keep moving. Because I never, ever took anything for granted with Janet as our working relationship. Like, we had our friendship and then there was our working relationship. So to me, the friendship was always going to be there whether she hired me again or not. In my brain, there was no guarantee ever that I was going to be doing the next gig. And even though while we were doing Rhythm Nation, as it was coming to an end and she was already talking about possibly doing the next tour, there was a way she would speak to me in very, making me feel very inclusive with everything. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, yeah, but things could change. So I never really held on to too much of it, but was also excited at the same time as the possibility of doing yet another tour with her.
And so with regards to like the project, did you know that she was heading into the studio to start that album? Like, how did that like play out, you know, knowing she's starting to record and maybe you're going to get songs?
At that time, she was already recording. I was not hired, so to speak, in any real capacity other than knowing that she wanted me to be involved. That was kind of all that was really said. Like, you know, when we do this next thing and when we do the next tour and, in my head, I'm like, yeah, I hope she means we as in me. Like, she wants me to be on that tour with her. So it was all talked about very loosely. So even though I knew she was recording and I was involved in, you know, getting to hear some of the music early, I wasn't actually hired or spoken of as being her choreographer.
Okay.
At that time.
And so how did that play out then? Like, what was the first thing that came to you? Did you go to the, because I do remember you telling me, I think, that you went up to Minneapolis at some point for some of that recording, though?
I want to say yes.
Okay.
I get the tours mixed up. I feel like I was in Minneapolis for a long time, but and I get the tours mixed up.
Okay.
But,
okay.
The way that that one came to be for me, what I remember specifically was I had been teaching in Japan for a while, and I was falling in love with some of the dancers there. And because they had a different hunger, you know, they didn't take things for granted. They loved having American choreographers there. And I was freshly off the Rhythm Nation tour. So of course I had a lot of students that wanted to come and take from me. And at that time I had choreographed a number for one studio for their teacher's number, and it was to Michael Jackson's Jam. And I was so impressed with the dancers that when I got back to LA and Janet was home, I was at her house, we were in one of her rooms, and I said, Janet, listen, you know, I think that you should have an audition in Japan. You would not believe how amazing these dancers are. And at that time I was very naive to visas and, you know, permits and citizenship and all that stuff. I was like, you just have to go see these dancers. They're amazing. And so I showed her a videotape of one of my classes. It was to the routine for Jam, and not even having a clue that that was the first time she'd actually seen my work, because she'd only really known me as a dancer. I came into stage a lot of the numbers for Rhythm Nation, but she really never saw any of my choreography. So it kind of just all happened very naturally. I'm trying to show her these dancers, telling her, go to Japan and hire some dancers. And at the same time, she's looking at my work going, wow. And the next thing I know, she's calling in Renee to come into the room. And within that hour, that's when they said, hey, listen, we'd like to actually have you come in and be the overall choreographer or the head of choreography. They weren't handing me the tour, so to speak, like, we want you to choreograph every number. They were just saying, we want you to kind of be in charge of hiring other people, doing some choreography maybe, because I think they were a little unsure of handing me everything without really knowing what I could do. And so that's kind of how that started. And then IF was our first actual job together, where I was in charge. I was the choreographer for it. And then from that point on, I was just handed the next song and the next song and the next song.
Amazing. Now, I want to start with, because the album, when it was released, the first single that was actually released was That's the Way Love Goes. And when you look at the video, there wasn't a lot of group choreography, I would say, in that video. It was very laid back. So how did you have to stage that too? Like, how did that go? Because I've always wondered how that played out, because it wasn't like, you know, you all doing an 8-count together.
Yeah, that one kind of just almost happened on the spot. Like, there were some things, you know, with Tish and the music or whatever, the boombox that she was turning on, like, that was kind of already written out. And then it was kind of just placed there at the shoot. Like, hey, let's put these two in. And Renee had a lot of input about, you know, who should go where. And I think Jennifer had a couple of lines in it. But it was very organic, and it was very, let's try this person, you know, over here. Let's put Omar over there. And it was kind of just, let's see what happens. It wasn't overly thought out or overly choreographed.
Okay. And what was it like being on set for that? Because I've never asked you that question before, what it was like to actually be on set for that video.
You know, it's so sad. All I can think about is remembering that I felt fat the whole time.
What?
That's what I remember from that video, because I had like this two-piece outfit, and, you know, it was just one of those days for me. So that, unfortunately, is what I remember from the video, is sitting on that sofa trying not to have my stomach hang out over these tight pants that they put me in. So I know that's not really like amazing and like a cool memory, but that's what brings to mind when I see that video going, oh my God, I remember how fat I felt sitting on that sofa.
This is why I love having you on the show, because you always bring the truth. It's awesome. Oh my God, that's so funny. So back to that song just for a second, though. So obviously in that video, not, you know, let's say, call it set choreography, let's say. But then when you guys performed it on the MTV Video Music Awards, which everyone lost their minds over, because that was sort of like, I think, the first award show that you guys did for that album, like when, once that album had been released. So did you do that choreography for That's the Way Love Goes after If, or was it ready to go sort of months, like, you know, like I guess which choreography did you end up doing first? Was it for If?
God, you know what? I honestly, all this time I thought it was If, but it may have been That's the Way Love Goes.
Okay.
It's funny because I have flashbacks of, like, I remember making up That's the Way Love Goes in the bathroom of my cousin's house because I had to fly back for a wedding. And I knew I had to do this choreography. And I remember going, running in the bathroom going, what, let me see if this shoulder, and it was that little shoulder thing. Like, does this thing work? Like, what's happening here? And I remember just being in this little tiny bathroom, because every once in a while you'll get an idea and go, ooh, let me go see if this works. And yeah, I remember choreographing that, like, in a bathroom, and choreographing If on an airplane. It was very bizarre, but there was a lot going on at that time.
Talk to us about...
To be honest with you, I don't remember which one came first.
Okay.
Because I remember If being such a big mm-hmm. project, but knowing us at the time, we were always doing one or two things, like, for promo, and I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay. Talk to us about If. It's fine. Talk to us about If, because obviously... There's certain Janet numbers, I'll call them, that obviously are just legendary and iconic and stand out, Rhythm Nation, of course, being one of them, and then If, for sure, at the top of the list as well. So how did those moves come about? I know you said you choreographed it on Airplane. You've never told me that before, so I'm anxious to hear that story. And, like, specifically, I guess, the breakdown, because, you know, everybody just, to this day, loses their mind over that part.
So the beginning part, like the main chorus, really, I remember I had my sister and a couple of my friends from my old studio back in Lancaster, which is a teeny tiny town. And I said, I've got to throw this on you guys because it's all in my brain right now. So they helped me with that. They were like my skeleton crew. And I was like, okay, this will work. And that was like the intro, the like roll down to your knee and the, you know, roll back up with the high kick with the flex foot. And mm-hmm. like that whole intro beginning was done there in Lancaster. I was like, okay, this section will work. And yeah, the part of all parts that came from the airplane was the grab between the guy's leg. Cause I was listening to the song in my head and I was flying. And I remember looking out the window and that's just was the visual I kept getting that matched the lyrics, right? Mm-hmm. If I was your girl, all the things I do to you. And it was just more like, let me put myself in the fantasy of a girl taking over for what a guy would normally be doing or saying. And it was funny. Like, I kept giggling going, oh my God, I don't know if that'll work. So I put that on my sister and a couple of my friends. I'm like, and I knew at that moment that I was kind of coming to that line because Janet was so conservative up until that point. Really. I mean, really up until Love Will Never Do Without You, but still that was pretty edgy for us. And I never meant for it to be overly sexual. I just wanted it to get right to that edge that made people go, and then realize like we didn't actually go that far.
Right.
Okay. So then what was happening was in rehearsal, we kept getting to the breakdown and everyone would just freestyle and act goofy and nothing was coming, right? Nothing. I was like, I don't know what to do here. And like Josie would throw in some stuff. I'm like, yeah, part of that works. Or Omar and Keith, you know, they had their own group called Shades at the time. So they would always just pull out choreography that they had. I'm like, you guys, I'm not going to use choreography that you guys have already done. And so we would all get to that part and everyone would just do their thing. So at one point, Janet was like, you know, why don't you and Omar and whoever else you want to get, like get in a room and see what comes up. So it was me, from what I remember, it was me, Sean Cheeseman, Omar. I want to say Dozy was there too. And so really it was a collaboration and that's what a lot of people don't know. Like with Omar there, literally you can take that breakdown and about every other eight count goes Omar, Tina, Omar, Tina, Omar, Tina. And I know Sean Cheeseman had some stuff in there. Josie also did, but it was me going, yeah, let's do that. Let's do it differently. Let's tweak that. Omar, you're doing that thing. Let's bring it down to our, it's the shoulder thing that we do in the breakdown. And then we do it one time and then we drop down to our knees. So there was like, there was stuff like that where I was getting a lot of influence from the other dancers and then just tweaking it and making it all work.
And I've always wanted to ask you this. Is there a fine line when you are coming up with moves between following the lyrics and then, you know, doing something else? Because I suppose, like, you can't obviously go too close to the lyrics all the time because then it would be cheese-o-rama, I would imagine.
Right. For me, the lyrics influence everything.
Okay.
So I'm always trying to tell the story of the song as opposed to, you know, sometimes you want to go, there's a big, strong beat. You want to go with that. You want to bring that out.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I never want to go against what the song is about unless I'm doing it for like a very specific purpose.
Okay.
So maybe if a song is super quirky or maybe even if it's like super hypersexual, maybe the lyrics are, I might try and go the other way to just give it a different vibe and not be so literal.
Yeah.
For two reasons. One, what you said is sometimes it's way too cheesy. And then sometimes it's just, you know, sometimes the lyrics are too strong and sexual. And you're like, yeah, that's kind of gross. I don't need to go that far with it. You know, there is a fine line. Not as there's almost no line today, but that's a different conversation. But yeah, there's always a line for me that I don't want to cross when it comes to sexuality. So that's why I try and keep things on the sensual side and then also try and tell the story without it getting to be too cheesy.
Okay. And I guess my other question too, following those lines, is was there ever discussion between you and Janet and maybe Renee too about what songs were actually going to end up being singles and then how that was going to play out with regards to cohesion? Because I've always wanted to know that from you as well. Like, obviously each of the songs are their own pieces, but obviously, like, specifically with this album, this was a very much an album about love and her and the many facets of love, and she's talked about that in interviews. So is there some sort of like choreographic cohesion that you're looking at through the whole project?
You know, for me, again, because the music is already there and the lyrics are already there and the album itself was so cohesive that it just kind of, the choreography just followed that. You know, when you have a label to answer to, they have a lot to say about what gets released. And even at the level of a, you know, Janet or a Prince or a Michael, the label is very much involved. So luckily, I think they were also on the same train of thought. So there wasn't a lot of argument. But once they decide what single is going to be released, and that kind of just gets the ball rolling, then everything else just falls in line. And really, you know, I will say Janet is the mastermind behind all of her stuff. So she's already gotten in her mind, once her music is done or once she's kind of done with her writing and she's done the album, everything literally filters from there. And that's why the package is always so cohesive and it's always well-rounded, is because it starts at the top and she already has a visual of how the overall look and feel and tone is going to be.
Joining us on The Kelly Alexander Show, award-winning choreographer Tina Landon. Make sure to follow her on Twitter and Instagram at I Am Tina Landon. Mm-hmm. Did you have a favorite piece that you choreographed? Like, I'm sure everyone thinks it's going to be If, but was it really If? Like, I don't know. Was there, like, another one that you really loved?
Oh, God, you might have to remind me. was this time on the Janet album, right?
Yeah.
That was one of my favorites.
Okay.
And that one, because it was just very different. I felt like the sound was different. It was very theatrical, and she allowed me to get very theatrical with it. I remember Sean and I were doing the whole floor crawling thing on the ground, and Sean Cheeseman, and it was just something that, because it had such an eeriness to it, and I don't know, there was something, it was very, very different for that genre and for that audience to be able to come out and do something that was very, very theatrical. So to me, and maybe because I had a solo in it, I don't know. I'm just saying that was one of my favorites.
Awesome. I love that. And when one of the songs that she did, obviously, off that album was Anytime, Anyplace. Now, the video was basically her and a guy, so there wasn't a lot of choreography there. But when it came to the stage part of the show, where were you going mentally with that? Because, when it's a down-tempo number like that, because I know, if we bring ourselves back to Love Will Never Do Without You, we all know that you helped make her feel comfortable on set doing the sexy movements, and she was sort of mimicking you. So when it comes to, a down-tempo number where it's not all of you, again, going to town on an 8-count, how does that play out between you and Janet? This is what we're going to do.
From what I remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, because your memory is way better than mine, I thought Anytime, Anyplace, she didn't really move, wasn't she?
Yeah, she sat on a chair. Yeah, for the Saturday night. So I just didn't know, was that a big, deep discussion about how, that's going to work out, that it's just going to be her in a chair, when it comes to those down-tempo numbers?
No, we just kind of feel it out. And a lot of times when you're doing an entire show in your set, you are looking for times to kind of let the audience also rest, because it's great, to have everyone up and screaming, but the audience at some point is going to get burnt out. So it's really nice to allow them to sit and hear the song and let Janet rest and let the visual rest. And, that's one of my pet peeves sometimes. And especially in this generation, it's just no one understands what it's like to be able to rest your brain for a second in a show. It really does help. It helps everyone kind of zone in to the song, to the artist, without all the screaming and yelling around you and all the extra visuals. You get to really just kind of enjoy this kind of downtime for a moment. So that's always important to me. I'm always looking for those places in a show when I'm choreographing to, these are the big numbers. Let's bring it all down. Let the audience enjoy this moment. And then let's kill them again. Boom. It's everyone needs to get a little break in there, a little water break. It is discussed, but not in great length. Okay. It's kind of are we going to do anything for this? No, I think this is a song where we sit and sing and, and give her one a break. That's pretty much all we put into it.
Okay. Now, this next question, I am certain I've never asked you this. I'm not sure if you can answer it, but I'm hoping, I feel like this is a question where I want to know, how in Tina Landon's brain do you actually come up with the moves? Now, I realize that this is asking a drummer how he drums, but I'm just wondering, is it the beats? How do you start? Your choreography is so iconic, and I'm just wondering, is the process always different for you? Do you have kind of a set routine about how things play out? I kind of want to know.
Well, for me, I could say that every song is different, meaning that sometimes it's the beat that will grab me. Sometimes it's a lyric, literally a lyric that just gets my mind twirling. And then sometimes it's a feeling, right? So I was talking about this time where that feeling is just dark and eerie, and that already gets me thinking in a different realm. But as far as my actual structure or the way I like to work, I listen to the song until it makes me sick, until I'm I don't ever want to hear the song again. But what happens, the first time I'll listen to it, I have all these amazing ideas. And then I listen to it more and all those ideas go away. I'm oh my God, I can't think of anything now. And then the more I listen, I also hear other things. I'm I didn't even know that guitar was there. Oh, I didn't even know. Oh, is that what she's saying? So I kind of listen and listen until something kind of starts to boil inside me. So whether, again, it's And it can be something really random. I'll be listening to something and go, oh, this is definitely just a guy number. Oh, no, this is all, this is a guy girl kind of cat and mouse thingy. So sometimes it's just pure dance. Sometimes it's a theme and sometimes it's a feeling. But I really do, I kind of head it all the same, where I just listen until the music speaks to me, and then I can put the moves to it.
Awesome. It's like listening to the master. Now, I know that there were some team member changes when it came to the dancers for the project. For example, I know Jennifer Lopez left. So were those shoes hard to fill, and was it challenging to get the right team of dancers in place for this project? Because again, it seemed like off the top, if you look actually at the That's the Way Love Goes video, and then look at videos further on down the line, not the same people in the videos.
Right. Well, anytime we have auditions, there's always going to be two or three or four people that you wanted to hire and there just wasn't room for it. Kelly Kono being one of them. I fell in love with her at the audition, And it was just kind of her or Jennifer. It's like, oh, they're so different. Kelly's laid back. She's cool. Jennifer's kind of in your face and she's tough. And it's like, what do you, so you always have a few people in your back pocket, so to speak, right? When you're doing something that major, I mean, there's so many people that come out to audition for Janet, as we know. So you usually have like a stash of people that you can call on. And usually we do that because not to necessarily fill anybody else's shoes, but it's like, hey, we might need to do a big video that where we're going to bring in 20 other dancers. So we like to have that kind of stash ready to go so we don't have to have another audition. And in that case, you know, Jennifer, it was right before the promo tour. We were already in rehearsals. And at that time, we didn't have a swing. We didn't have dancers in as alternates because we just never had done that before. Again, this was only our second tour. So Jennifer got a call for a lead role, I think, or if not, it was like a supporting role. But it was a big deal for her because she'd already done Fly Girl. She'd already done a lot of dance stuff, and she was really wanting to pursue her acting career. And this was a big deal. And she's like, guys, I got to do this. Can I do this and come back? And we were like, no, if you go, you go. And we've got to fill your shoes. And that's kind of what happened. She decided, you know, acting was going to be her next step. And I think, I'm not sure, but I think it went well for her. and that's when we brought Kelly on.
Okay.
And then shortly after, you know, some of the other dancers either decided to leave on their own or were asked. And I don't want to say anything about any, but you know, it just things they it just didn't work out. Okay. So, and again, we had people ready to go.
And now that seemed to be the start of, you know, the core group of lady dancers, I would say, you know, that then were then on like the next two tours after that, including yourself. Did you guys, and you being the choreographer at that point, did you realize that there was like quite the synergy between, like, I'll say, like, you know, you and Seanette and Kelly and Nikki?
Yes, there was. There's just something that, you know, when you're on stage or in rehearsal, you just know when you click as dancers. Seanette was one of those dancers. It was funny because I had met her briefly before the audition. I happened to go take a dance class. I ran in late. She was standing there. She was, and taking dance class in LA can be really, really intimidating. People are not always nice. And what I remembered from her was how nice she was to me. I was like, oh, this girl's really nice. So when she showed up to the audition, I went, oh my God, there's that girl that was in class. I hope she's good. And she blew me away. She went way past any expectation I had. So already I was like in love with Sean, in love with Nikki. Nikki was like my little sister out there. I just thought she was amazing. And there was just something, there was something about those three girls that it was like we all wanted to achieve the same thing, right? We all wanted, like, hey, what are you doing with that arm? Oh, my arm's going here. There wasn't ever a competition. And sometimes dancers want to be a star, right? They forget that they're actually there to support the star.
Yeah.
And we never had that. We never really had competition. We all wanted to be the best we could be. And then we had crazy ass Tish, you know, who had no training, right? She had zero training, but she had more heart and more natural ability than any dancer I had ever met at that time. Like, she just blew me away. And the thing I loved the most about Tish was, you know, she wanted to be in everything, but I had to go, Tish, you're, you know, these numbers are very technical. Like Black Cat was very technical. There's double turns and leaps and all this kind of stuff. And she would say, well, what if I learn it? And, you know, and I'll be honest, in the back of my head, I'm like, she's never going to learn this. Bless her heart. Like, she's not going to learn this. And I said, Tish, if whatever number, I'm not going to say you can't learn a number, whatever number you want to learn, if you can do it and I think you're good enough, I will put you in that number. But as of now, you were only, I had only had her in like three numbers.
Oh, wow.
And I think by the end, she was probably in almost all of them.
Wow.
She worked so hard. I saw her in every break we had, she was grabbing a dancer going, can you show me that? I mean, it got to a point where they're like, Tish, I need a break. No, I'm not going to help you with that. Like, just let me get some water. She's a machine. That girl is like the Energizer Bunny. And we just couldn't keep up with her. But so for us, as that, we just had such a strong bond, and I think it showed on stage. There's no doubt about it.
Oh yeah, as a fan, I could tell you for the next two tours, it was still there, and I'm sure if you all got back up on stage again, it would be fantastic to see all of you again. Now, I wanted to bring you to the audition part of the situation. Where, what was it like for you? Like, how did that process go? Were you culling down a certain group of, like, to a certain number, and then Janet Renee coming in? Like, how did that work to sort of get down to this point?
Yeah, I didn't want them to have to come down to watch the 400 or five. I don't know how many showed up. It was a ton. I think we had to do like girls on one day, guys on another day, street dancers on one day, or, you know, freestyle dancers on one day. These auditions went on for like a week. So once we got it down to a, you know, a suitable number that they didn't have to stay there for hours, that's when I brought her in to now go, okay, this is what I see. I'm kind of good with kind of anybody here. And also, I think these are people that you will love. And that's when they would come in and kind of, you know, watch for themselves and take their own notes.
Can you explain to the audience right now what the room felt like when Janet walked in and, you know, these dancers are there? Like, what was the vibe? Did they pass out? Like, I can't imagine seeing Janet and Renee walk into the room.
Dancers are really good at putting on their game face. I mean, they're dying inside, but they also know if they start acting like crazy fans, they're definitely not going to get hired.
Right.
So I think you feel the energy go up, and you feel, I won't even call it tension, you know, because Janet does have a good vibe when she comes in a room. She doesn't. There's some people that can come in a room and bring in a negative vibe, but she doesn't. And, you know, there is another level, I guess, of realism. Like, oh my God, that's Janet, like 5 feet from me. You know, that's what dancers are trying. They're trying not to stare, because part of them are freaked out that they don't know if they know the choreography. They're freaking out, like, Janet's right there. I'm trying not to look at her, but I can't stop looking at her. Oh my gosh, am I going to get this? Like, there's a million things that go in your brain when you're auditioning, period. But to have an artist and somebody of her stature in the room, it takes everything up 100 levels.
Now, I wanted to ask you about the set list for the tour, because by this point now, she's already had two albums that have like a fair amount of hits on them, meaning Control and Rhythm Nation, and now she's got new hits coming. So how did you guys work that out? Did you know, like, was it a discussion between you and her? Like, who was involved in trying to figure out how the set list was going to go for the tour?
What she normally does is just, she kind of made a list of everything that she thought should be in the tour. Like, these are all the songs that I want to do. And then from there, it's kind of like putting a puzzle together. You kind of figure, okay, what are we going to open with and what are we going to end with? And then you kind of go from there, because at that point, I don't really remember all the specifics, but it's like, do we want to do like the first half of Rhythm Nation, the second half Janet? Do we want to intertwine them? Do we want to do medleys? We're going to have to do some medleys if we're trying to get all these songs in. So really, it's kind of just going in steps. Like, you know, when you're writing a paper or something, you're like, okay, the first step is let's just make a list of songs that we want to do, and then you just start to piece them together. I'm trying to remember, is that the one where we did a different version of Nasty?
You know, this is where you've actually stumped me, because can you imagine? I only got to see that tour once. So I'm probably blanking on exact specifics, but yeah, maybe
I want to, okay, I want to say that it was, because I remember really pushing Jan on doing the Grammy version of that song, because it was very different.
Okay.
And I remember going, oh, I don't know, you know, the fans are going to want it like the album. I said, no, trust me, they love that version. I love that version. Let's do it. And that's why I get mixed up. I can't remember if that was the Janet tour or the Velvet Rope, but I'm pretty sure it was the Janet tour, because she was really stuck on wanting to keep it exactly like the record, thinking that the fans weren't going to like it. And of course, that's, you know, me being the big Prince fan that I was. I was like, Janet, no, Prince always does something different. And I love it every single time I go to the shows. I love that it's different than the record. So please, 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 let's just try it. And it was, yeah, it was pretty awesome.
When it comes to the costumes on that tour, like every tour, the costumes are phenomenal. But in looking back, what outfit maybe stood out to you? And were you able to comfortably get through the whole concert in your various costume changes?
I did love the opening I loved the long sleeves. It was very kind of, I don't know, there was, even though we were in shorts and, you know, our combat boots underneath, but there's something very regal about my little top with the high collar. And I love that outfit. I just thought it was really clean and pretty being all white on stage, or actually it was like creams. And then of course I love just being in the torn jeans and the flannels. Like, you just don't get more comfortable than that.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to ask you a couple things about, I would say, the flannel look, if you will, with regards to the fact that, you know, you guys were in the flannel at the end of the concert and it was amazing. And one of those memories for me is seeing the when you guys did the countdown on New Year's Eve for 94. So what was that like, T, being there? Because I actually watched video recently to get sort of prep for this interview and just saw the glee on your face on the screen. It looked like you guys were having such a good time counting down to, you know, 94.
Oh, it was so much fun. I can't even tell you, to be in Madison Square Garden on New Year's Eve and to not have to be in a crowd, like you get to be on stage and count it down. It was awesome, because it was like being at a party without having to be trampled by the party. So for us, it was just, and I say that every New Year's Eve, like if I'm not going to be on stage somewhere, then I just want to be in my living room watching it somewhere else, because I don't want to have to worry about how I'm getting someplace, if someone's, you know, drinking and driving and all that stuff. So for me, it was just like, literally, we got to be a part of this amazing event. And we were kind of the stars of it that night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
For sure.
And you got to share it. You got to bring in a new year with people that were there loving you and supporting you. And it was kind of, you know, I don't know. It was like everybody was all connected that night in that moment. So that was, and to be in a big city like New York, it's just, there was something so incredibly magical about it. Like, I still get really excited thinking about, like, that was probably one of my best New Year's Eves ever.
Awesome. I'm so glad that you explained that to us, because, like, I know what it felt like to watch it. And so now knowing what you felt being there on stage with the balloons dropping and all that stuff, that's amazing. along those lines as well, I wanted to get your take on Because of Love, because... So I know you guys ended the concert pretty much with that song, and it's such a fun, breezy song. And then the video I know was sort of behind the scenes, you know, of you guys on tour, and it was just such a fun little cutesy video. I know her dog's in the video. What's your take on that song? Like, do you still love that song? Does it still bring back, like, because to me it brings back, like, just warm and fuzzies.
It does. I do love that song. But from what I remember, the choreography was a little crazy on it. I don't know what I was thinking. It was for the show. We didn't do it in the video. The video was fun, and it just really captured, because I want to say a lot of that footage, too, was us in Anguilla.
Okay.
So it's kind of special that, you know, we got to, I don't know, almost share a part of our private lives with the fans, because we were all there, and, I mean, we were literally there in Anguilla enjoying a vacation, enjoying each other's company, enjoying time off and time together. And so the fact that that got made into a video that will last forever, it's like, it's almost like we get to open a photo book every time we watch that video and go, oh, I remember that place. Oh, I remember that Jeep. And oh, Nick, you wore that bathing suit. Like, for me, that's what I look at when I see the video.
Okay.
I remember the actual time that we got to spend. And then all the little stuff that was added from, you know, like the behind the scenes stuff. It's, That to me felt like a very raw capture of really what our lives were like. It, nothing was staged. Nothing was preempted. Nothing was, hey, that was funny. Do that thing again. It was really organic. And all the stuff that was captured was just unexpected. And so the video is one thing. The choreography, I remember we added that show during the tour. So we're learning the choreography at soundcheck, and it was like, okay, when are we putting this in? When are we putting this in? Okay, we've got X amount of shows to get this learned, because we didn't have time to have rehearsal. We, you know, after the show, you're on the bus to the next show.
Right.
And that was the only time that we could learn it, was at our soundcheck before we could put it in the show.
I love the choreo, by the way. I love it. I think it fits it perfectly. So I think it's great. So I wouldn't worry about it, because I think it's cutesy. And it was, and especially watching it on the like during that New Year's Eve countdown, like it was cute. Like, it was great. And it just, you know, you guys seem like, not seem like, you guys are a family, and it was great to just see you guys having a great time on stage. So You did a good job, T.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now, I did want to ask you as well. I've never asked you this before. When it came to the infamous Rolling Stone cover that obviously ended up being the album cover and all that sort of good stuff. Were you present for that, like for that photo shoot? And I've never asked you what you actually thought. Obviously, that is an iconic photo for life now on that Rolling Stone cover, not to mention the album cover as well.
Right. No, I was not a part of that photo shoot. And it was one of those where you go, ah, is your first reaction. Mm-hmm. And then you go, oh, but everything's covered. Oh, but that's really pretty. Oh, it's very artsy. And so then you just start, like, it's a shocker at first. And especially for someone like Janet, who was so, again, conservative prior to that and covered up all the time, to go right from that to like, hello. but it was, you know, and everyone's going to have a different opinion. I'm sure somebody who's super conservative is going to not like it. But I just thought it was done in very good taste. And I thought it was a beautiful cover. And, you know, awesome. And there's a picture out there, Sean Cheeseman with his hands around my breast. Not quite as sexy, Sean.
Oh my God, that's fantastic. And I wanted to ask you as well, when it came to, because you guys were on the tour, and I know that during that time, there was the Jackson Family Honors, you know, celebration. Yes. And so how crazy was that for you? Because you guys were like on tour dates. So like, did you just fly in and then fly out? And you know, was it crazy for you to try to get that performance ready for her to take it on stage for the Jackson thing?
Well, it wasn't crazy as far as we were already doing it in the show.
Yep.
So we already knew the choreography, staging. Nothing really changed much. It was just, we knew we were going to have a lot of time, you know, to sound check it or to be there for rehearsal. I don't remember too much about that because I want to say we flew in, did it, and flew out. I don't remember even having more than a walkthrough, like this is where the bench goes, this is where the props go, let's do a run through. And then we were, you know, we literally did it and we're on the bus that night, or a plane even. I want to say we flew in for that.
Okay. And another live performance from that time that everybody still talks about to this day was the Saturday Night Live performance when you guys did Throb. And so I have a two-part question about that. First of all, how crazy was it to perform Throb, especially with those costumes, because they were different from what you guys were using on the show or in the concert. And then part B of with regards to Throb itself, did you have an inkling that song was going to become legendary? Because people love seeing that song every single time because it's a way for each set of dancers to whatever tour you're on, to be at the forefront. So talk to us about Throb.
So, yeah, I love those. Those are still my favorite costumes of probably anything I've done with her, just because it was so eclectic and organic. You could tell everybody was comfortable in their own skin, whether that was something we would ever wear on our own. I just felt like that, you know, wardrobe really captured each person's personality. And granted, there's always, they were so good to us. We'd always have like a, you know, a stack of stuff to go through and just like pick out what you think fits your body and works for you. And to me, I didn't know that Throb would be what it was. It was a fun song to dance to. But, you know, I'm always really skeptical about radio and what radio is going to like and not like. And a lot of the stuff that I would love, you know, from an album maybe wasn't a number one hit necessarily with different artists that I've worked with. So I never knew how Throb was going to be perceived. And on one hand, it doesn't shock me that Janet was completely fine with like stepping aside and going here. I mean, what we were really trying to do was like, let's just show what we experience when we go to the club. We all love to watch each other dance or watch other people dance. And Janet's one of those too. Like we, you know, when we go to a club, I'm not necessarily somebody who likes to get out there and dance, because I'm always feel like somebody's expecting me to do if or something. I'm like, no, I don't actually want to dance. I want to watch everybody else dance. So I wanted to be able to bring that kind of feeling, that voyeurism of what I experience when I go to clubs, or for people who can't dance that love to watch people just going off. And we had such incredible dancers. It's like this, it all kind of, all the pieces came together.
Okay.
You know, where there wasn't a lot of lyrics for Janet to sing. And it was really just trying to capture that feeling that when we go to a club, this is what we like to do. And how do we bring that to life on stage? And it worked.
Yeah, definitely. And I love that it's still like, it's a staple, right? Like it is a staple that everybody wants to see on every single tour that she does now, because it's like, oh, this is our chance to get to see the dancers shine and do their thing.
Right, right.
So now,
pretty cool.
I guess one of the last questions I would have for the Janet 25 album, first of all, is looking back, obviously you did so many tours for Janet and or with Janet. Where does that one place in your mind? And maybe give us some adjectives about like just where it sits with you, like what it means to you 25 years later.
Jeez, I think I'm all out of adjectives. you know, for me, it was the start of something amazing for me, because that's really where I feel like my career started as a choreographer. Of course, I'd been teaching and choreographing, and I don't feel like I had a lot of time to think about where I wanted to be as a choreographer. I felt like I got swept up into the perfect hurricane or tornado or whirlwind or whatever. I just got swept up into the world of Janet, and that's where my career began. And luckily, I had done the work prior to that to be able to receive it so that I was ready when it was offered. You know, there was a lot of new beginnings. I mean, I made incredible friendships with all the dancers, and the experience. I mean, I'm friends with fans from Amsterdam and, you know, Chantel and Roy and Franklin. I have to give them a shout out because those guys have been around since, I think, who knows, probably Rhythm Nation. But we're friends now. We're legitimate friends. And we've made so many connections with people over the years. And even though Rhythm Nation is where it started for me as a dancer, I feel like that was getting my feet wet. And the Janet Tour is what exploded my life in dance and with Janet.
Okay. And on this 25th anniversary, what would you say to Janet about this particular project that you guys, you know, labored and loved over?
What would I say to her? I would say, as always, thank you for believing in me. And I would tell her that we did some good stuff, I think. And I'm glad that we were also able to enjoy it, because we really did. We worked our butts off, but we made sure we had a good time while we were doing it.
Awesome. Now, I know it's been several months since we chatted when it was the Velvet Rope 20th anniversary. And when you came up to visit me and we recorded that video, it was a couple of weeks after mm-hmm. you had done the Hollywood Bowl, you know, reunion with all the dancers and with Janet. And I know we talked about it in the Velvet Rope 20 interview, but I'm just wondering, now that you've had several months for it to sort of percolate and sit with you or marinate, if you will, is there anything else you wanted to just mention about that? Like, because again, it still almost seems like incredulous that it happened to have all of you back on stage with her at one shot.
Yeah, it does. And I want to do it again. It's one of those things where you're like, you know, where you're like on a diving board and you're like freaked out that you're going to belly flop. And then you do it and you're like, oh, that was awesome. I want to do it again. Like, seriously, the whole time there was just so many emotions going on that it just becomes unreal. You know, like, did that just happen? Like, you're waiting for Christmas and it happens and you're like, wait, what happened? It was too fast. You know, we're like, you've got so many emotions of seeing all these people that you made relationships with over the years coming together, doing a number that meant so much at the time and still means so much today, something that you didn't even know that you were a part of when it was happening. And then on top of all that, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so worried I'm not going to be able to get off the ground again if I go down on my knees for that knee spin. Like, literally, like, I may make the biggest fool out of myself up here and this would be horrible. So you've got all of that running through your brain. So yeah. So Janet, I'm ready for part two. Let's do this again, because now I'm ready.
Awesome. I love that. Well, you know how much I love you, and I'm so honored every time that you agree to speak with us and spend time with me and chat about these amazing memories. And on behalf of the fans, again, like, you know, just thank you, because I think for many people, the Janet album was a coming of age album in a way, just even like, you know, just where it was with the sexual overtones and sort of being comfortable with who you are and what you are and all that sort of stuff. And the fact that you were able to represent that with her on stage and put these iconic moves together. I know we can never thank you enough. And the fact that we still love it 25 years later is a testament to you and Janet and the rest of the team. So we love you and thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. That means so much to me. And thank you for always bringing me back, because I love talking about this stuff, even though it's hard for me to remember. But It means a lot to me that it means a lot to you and the fans, and they are always appreciated. So thank you, Kelly.
And before I let you go, what do you want your fans to know about? Are there projects upcoming that you can let us know that we can catch you somewhere or they can find you somewhere teaching? Or
I'm doing a heels workshop May 5th in New York and with Lipstick Diaries. And I have a guest star role coming out on a sitcom. It's a comedy. No, it's not a sitcom. Maybe it's a sitcom. All I know is it's a comedy. They're being very hush-hush, and I can't talk much about it, but I promise when they tell me that I can talk about it, I will tell you where to find it. That's really exciting.
Awesome. Well, we love you, and thank you so much for this, and we can't wait to have you back on the show.
Awesome. Thank you.
That's award-winning choreographer Tina Landon. Make sure to follow her on Twitter and Instagram at I Am Tina Landon. Now, here is a fan favorite from the Janet album, It's Throb, on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Boom, boom.
Janet Jackson from the Janet album with Throb on The Kelly Alexander Show. And if you haven't had a chance yet to check out her recent performance of that song in the Billboard Music Awards, you must. She and her team were fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show this week. We always appreciate your time. Of course, a big shout out to our guest, Miss Tina Landon. Also, thanks to our producer, Adam Brissell, for pushing all the right buttons. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media. You can do so by jumping onto our website, kellyalexandershow.com. And of course, we would love for you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/KellyAlexanderShow. Have an excellent week. You and I will chat soon.